Welcome to Marketers Talking Marketing.
Yuval, thank you so much for joining us today. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
All right. Thank you so much for having me, first and foremost. I'm Yuval Ackerman. I help B Corps and personal brands get into bed with their subscribers and turn them into their biggest fans. And I'm also a digital nomad full time. I'm a pasta person through and through. Yeah, that's in a nutshell.
Nice. I like your positioning with that. You help them get in bed with their customers because it already sounds exciting. It sounds like it's not your everyday stuff. And B Corps are pretty cool too, you know, created for public good. Yeah. So typically, right, email marketing we're talking about today. Tell us more. Where do they start?
Audience, I'm not going to say anything that's new and revolutionary here. You know this, Jess. We need to ask our subscribers, our customers, our audience, what do they want, and then just cater to them and personalize the experience as much as possible in their inbox. Without them, we don't really have a justification to email them either way.
How are you collecting that? Are you asking subscribers, hey, we're going to email you on some topics. What do you want to see? Are you trying to like collect that data discreetly based on what they're engaging with? Where's that coming from?
Multiple points in the inbox journey. First of all, segmentation right away when you just hop on the list. Also the preference center, you know, some people want to maybe snooze a newsletter or some promo emails for however many days or months or weeks. But also getting a lot of hints and direct feedback from subscribers alongside their inbox journey.
Yeah. I feel like preference centers are like such an underrated tool. Every time I see an email and there's only an unsubscribe and no preference center, it's like, what a lost opportunity for me to just get the volume of emails from you down because you're drowning me, but I don't want to unsubscribe, but now I have to because you're not giving me a spot for me to give you that feedback.
For sure. And, you know, the preference center, if you can actually personalize it like that, you can also use that to ask more about, you know, what topics are you interested in? What kind of products are you interested in seeing more? If it makes sense, then maybe your gender or the gender of whoever you're buying for, or your pet's name even. I mean, it is such an underrated opportunity or missed opportunity for so many brands. And I'm just super excited to see more and more brands actually using it to their benefits and for their subscribers' benefit.
Now, are you running into any issues with like data privacy with some of that collection? I feel like that can be a bit of a gray area, especially with the move away from cookies and other kind of tools marketers use to more discreetly capture some of that segmentation data.
So in ethical email marketing, what we're doing is we're relying on zero and first party data regardless. The quote unquote loss of third party cookies is a great opportunity for my clients to actually inquire more about their subscribers and cater better to them wherever they are. Might be on their email list, on the website, wherever, right? Data privacy and data collecting data in general is something that my clients are doing with a lot of consent and repeatedly throughout the inbox journey. And anyone who wants to do email marketing the right way, in my opinion, doesn't need to be afraid of the loss of third-party cookies or collecting data from wherever it is without their subscribers' consent. It's as simple as that.
Can you talk more about the inbox journey where you talk about data collection through that process?
Sure. It could be something as simple as tagging people according to their engagement with your emails and then seeing, okay, what are the patterns that we're identifying here? Maybe some subscribers are clicking more on links, or people sometimes reply more to emails, right? And how can we create an experience for them if they engage more or engage in different ways with our emails? So for example, if someone is repeatedly clicking on the same kind of product, why would we send them emails about other products? So that's one type of email journey. But then people who purchased from our brand, they will get a post-purchase flow which hopefully everyone is, you know, taking care of. And then obviously, I mean, for me, it's obvious, we will stop sending them promotions about said product for however many days, you know, as long as it makes sense. Because sending them more emails about this, the same thing that they just bought, makes absolutely no sense.
I laugh because I've definitely gotten emails from brands after buying a product saying that I like left it in my cart. Or one time I got an email, and it was a cart abandonment trigger, I'm sure, for 50% off. And I was like, I just paid full price. I just paid full price like 2 days ago. And now you're sending me a coupon? I reached out and they gave me a partial refund, but I was so mad because clearly I was not segmented properly and I still kept receiving that email.
I'm so glad that you reached out to their CX department, because honestly, this is so embarrassing. I'm so embarrassed for brands who are messing up like this. It's also, I think it's so silly to pile up on discounts as some kind of a last resort kind of thing of just buy our stuff. Okay, we'll give you 10% more. Okay, no. Next day, we'll give you 20% more. I think that's ridiculous. People see through it. And honestly, that's a very good example of everything that I think has gone wrong with email marketing in the past couple of years.
I think of Wayfair with that, to be honest, not to call Wayfair out, but kind of calling them out. Because I will get an email from them that's like, sale ends at midnight, 50% off or 25% off. And then the next day I'll get an email with a new sale for the same percentage. And it's like, your sale never ends. So if I find something, like as a consumer, I am being primed that if I find something that I like, I just need to wait till you send me a coupon for it. And I think when I signed up for their newsletter, I was getting emailed 3 times a day. I was like, there's no, I don't need this much stuff, Wayfair.
Yep.
And I had to unsubscribe. Exactly. It was too much. It was overwhelming.
Good for you. I think, you know, brands that don't understand that they're overwhelming their subscribers with irrelevant, ill-timed messages. What are we doing here then? Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, are there tools that you like or different vendors that someone could use if they want to start getting more robust with their email marketing? Do you have like a favorite platform?
I don't. I know there is one very prominent player in the market named Klaviyo that everyone loves for a reason. I'm also am a partner of several other competitors as well, like MailModo and OmniSend. I don't really have a favorite, to be honest, because I honestly believe that all of the ESPs that I've seen so far are a bit behind when it comes to implementing the strategies that I come up with. I mean, it's all doable, right? But it's never perfect. There is no such thing as like the perfect email service provider.
One, it's probably good for you because you're doing something that they can't reproduce easily too.
Yeah.
Like the fundamentals and the foundation and how you do it, not just the tools that execute it, but there's definitely some tools that work a little more effectively than others, especially on the email marketing side. Yeah. So if someone is listening to this conversation and they're thinking, oh my gosh, like I'm embarrassed because I don't have a preference center up. I'm actually like not segmenting. I'm not really sure where to start. Where's the first spot that they can go to?
The first action is to understand what is it that we want to know and understand about our audience, and then reverse engineer that from there. Right. So what kind of information and first-party data do we want to gather from and on our subscribers? And the first place where I would, basically emphasis that approach is the data collection, the initial data collection. A lot of brands are missing out so much on gathering more than just the email. I mean, just gathering the email address and maybe sometimes SMS, like the phone number. We're not even talking about first name, right? Which is, we know how important personalization is. And still, most companies are not even gathering the first name and not, you know, sending personalized emails with the first name of their subscriber. How ridiculous is that? But beyond that, there are so many questions that you can, not so many, let's stop the party right there. There are a lot of questions that we can ask our subscribers about their preferences and cater to them right away. There are companies that are doing that as a plugin through quizzes. And it's a marvelous way to bring, the best product at the right time to our subscribers when they need it and learn about our subscribers from the get-go. I think more and more brands must incorporate that in their email marketing strategy.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you a horror story of a client I worked Ooh. With in like 10 years ago, to be honest. Their database got hacked. Someone got into their marketing automation system. And wow. So as part of that, their IT, and it was a massive company, their IT team said, for business continuity and security, you guys can no longer have direct access to the database. And so when someone signs up, we're not going to give you any data. And they use a third party to manage it, because then they could say, hey, our data is super secure. Look at this third party. And so every time we'd want to pull a report, even to see what's the demographic breakdown of our newsletter list, or when did they sign up, it would cost thousands of dollars. And so wow. they had it was over 500,000 people on their newsletter list, and they could do first name and they had email address. That was all. They couldn't do any segmentation. They also got time zone. So they could do some proper sending times, but they couldn't do any segmentation. And it was like, wow. What? And it was a conglomerate of retailers. And so they couldn't even segment by product or by who's shopping, and all of the stores were very different. So, this mom is getting the same ad as like a single guy with it. And I was like, what a waste to exchange for this fear, because you weren't secure the first time, because someone leaked their, I think they had their password on a post-it note is literally what happened. And there was a photo goodness. Taken in the office and it was shared. So you guys did something stupid. So now you're punishing like your entire company's revenue for years. And they did it for like 4 or 5 years until they finally were able to fight against it and get their data back. It was like, what a nightmare.
What about gathering first party and zero party data from their subscribers yeah. every single time that they send an email? That would be my first thing to do, because that's within my control. But that is a horror story, which is why I'm such a firm believer in gathering that data and having that in your system and being strategic about it from the get-go, basically.
Oh, yeah. I really liked your point also about thinking about the data you want to collect to help craft what you're sending, and I think that's a spot that I see some people also take a few missteps in, is how do you want to segment? Like, what data do you actually need to collect, and what could be interesting? Because you can segment on literally anything, but it's not all going to be impactful.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's easy to get caught up in the whole like best practices of, okay, we need to segment according to XYZ, but let's stop and think about this for a second. What are we trying to achieve? What are we trying to learn? What do we want to improve for our subscribers? That's how you approach this. Not kind of like, okay, this is what everyone is doing. Everyone is jumping off the, off the bridge, whatever, the roof. Let's do it again. Let's do it as well. That's the old kind of approach to email marketing. And honestly, I mean, we can have a whole conversation about, my beef with best practices. But I just think, it's especially with email marketing, when it's so personalized, you cannot just blindly follow the best practices because someone else who might be a competitor with a similar audience is doing the same thing. Are you trying to do the same thing like your competitor, or are you trying to stand out in the inbox? Pick your poison.
I hate best practices.
Amen.
I hate them. I think half the time it's, I'm going to go on a little soapbox. Half the time it's people who are sharing them and perpetuating them who don't actually use them themselves and who don't actually touch the day-to-day operations, but they heard this is a thing to do. So they're repeating it because they want to seem like they're in the know and they're doing it the right way. But if you look at like the data on what's actually working, oftentimes I found sending plain text emails in the B2B world, plain text emails crush it versus beautifully formatted ones. And I'll tell people that and they're like, no way, like no way that works. Like test it, just test it on your next send. It's not that hard. Just test it. Like think differently and stop doing what everyone else says you need to do. Because you're just becoming everyone else. It's the marketing Illuminati.
Yes. And what I love the most about best practices is that they were invented by, let's be honest, a couple of bros a few decades back. And everyone has been, you know, praising them ever since. And no one is really questioning. I mean, some good people are, but most people are just blindly following through without even thinking, wait, is this the best practice for my audience and my brand? Is this a brand-centered approach or is it an audience-centered approach? And oftentimes it's actually, you know, brand-centered rather than audience-centered. And then, you know, brands are wondering, okay, why don't we see about 30% revenue coming directly out of our email list? I wonder why.
Yeah. Well, and you look at who's so definitely there's a whole world of of bros. John Wanamaker is like the initial marketing bro who said, I can measure half my marketing. I know half my marketing activity works. I don't know which half, where people then were like, oh, it's just hard to measure marketing. And that's like stuck with us for hundreds of years at this point. But also who's saying the best practice in terms of like the platform. So Facebook on Instagram always said that video does well on Instagram, but I'd run on these campaigns and I would see that photos did the best because you can engage differently. You can tag people. Like there's a ton of reasons, but they would always say video does best. But then it's like, we look at the data and you go to the client and you're like, hey client, here's all of your reports. And you can see like your top 10 posts are all photos. Like, oh, but our Facebook rep keeps saying we need to do video. It's like, you're not doing video wrong. Video doesn't work. Like this works. Just like get outside of it. But, you know, some people are afraid to get out of that track. There's that saying, no one ever got fired for buying IBM. It's like the safe thing to do if it's the best practice, but it's not the way to innovate.
Yeah. But do you want to play it safe or do you want to win? That's the question.
Yeah. 100% agree. Yeah. I could rant about best practices all day. Speaking of best practices, are there specific best practices that you just hate whenever you see them and you're like, stop doing it?
Yes, but I do have to put a disclaimer that some of my clients are using them because it's working for their audience. On a personal level, from my point of view as a consumer, I hate countdown timers. I think they are silly. I don't like emails that start, the subject line starts with re or forward. Who are we trying to trick here? No one is buying that bullshit. What else do I absolutely hate in terms of best practices? I don't believe that a discount code or a free shipping on your first order is necessarily the best way to go, just because everyone is doing that, especially for my clients who are doing, who are B Corps. And some of them, sure, might be in e-com, but just the fact that they're doing e-com doesn't mean that they need to compare themselves to other e-com brands that are not B Corp, that don't have this high commitment to social and environmental change. So you have to choose. Do you want to do things differently because you have this high commitment, or do you position yourself like any other e-com? But yeah, like the discount epidemic, you know, I mean, it is here to stay, but you know, there are other ways to go around it. All kinds of like, and then the follow-up sequence of like, buy it now before the coupon code expires. And then you sign up from a different email address and oh my God, you got the same coupon code again. Or coupon codes that don't really expire. Also, like it's a tech issue, but it's very silly segmentation that's going wrong. And then you're getting yet another email with a bigger discount on something that you just bought, for example. There are so many bad practices out there. I think if I had to think about them all, we'll stay here for another hour. So I'll stop it right here.
Yeah. Discounting, it feels like I was going to say cheap because that's also kind of relevant to it. I feel like discounting is so easy for people to go to when there's so many other ways to add value. And especially if you're a B Corp or a nonprofit or an organization that has a purpose, like people are with you because of your mission oftentimes, not just because your costs. Like if they want the cheapest thing, they're going to go to Walmart, you know, they're going to go somewhere like that. Like there's so much more to you. You're more than a discount code.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, the profit margins are already very tight. They're getting tighter by the day. Of course, we want to get the product to our customers' hands as soon as possible. But there are other ways to go around it. And you just have to do the simple yet not easy thing and ask your audience, what is it that is valuable to you?
I think that's like that circles it all back together. It's what's valuable to your audience, which is when we initially opened this conversation, what you had said, it all comes down to what does the audience want? What's their value? Or what's not what's their value? What do they value with it? We know your audience's value. It's immeasurable, you know?
Yeah.
Do you have anything you can share that you think are on the more innovative side or things that you really enjoy seeing brands take advantage of in email marketing?
Oh, absolutely. Storytelling or being more personal with their emails. I got to tell you, there's this newsletter that is not very frequent. They do support discounts. But whenever I get the email, I'm saving it for later because I know it's going to take me at least 10 minutes to read. And I kid you not, Jess, this is like reading the diary of the founder. With all of the memes, with all of the jokes, with all of the quirks of this founder. And I find it to be such a fun newsletter and I'm rooting for them. It's also, it happens to be a small business, so I'm rooting for them twice. But I just think that taking the stance of, look, life is messy. We're doing the best we can. Here's what we have to offer. Here's how our story of the week ties to the product. Want to get it? Here it is. And then maybe discount code if you insist. But I think storytelling and getting into the behind the scenes is so powerful. And I just love seeing businesses taking this approach in their email marketing because it's very human. And I think people are very much tired of this facade of, look at us, we are such a successful brand. And we are here to help you. Let's tone it down, please. It's a conversation between people. People don't buy from brands unless you are something like Patagonia or something like that. People buy from people they know, like, and trust. We know that. So instead of just sharing this yet, you know, another best practice kind of facade of like, look at us, we're so successful. Let's be human. Let's get back to basics. Let's have a conversation and see how our subscribers are reacting to this. So yet another thing to test, but I'm seeing that more and more in my inbox, and I absolutely love that.
I love that point. People buy from people they know, they trust. There's a third thing you said that I left out of that.
That they like.
Like. People they like, know, and trust. Like that is the part to underscore is people they do. They want to buy. People don't like being sold to, but they love buying. And they do want to buy from people. In the B2B tech space where I've spent most of my career, I've noticed a rise in companies that have no face, where it's just a company. There's no story. There's nothing about the founders. There's no founder's name. There's no team. And when I look at that sometimes, I'm like, well, I don't want to work with you. Like, who are you? Why did you build this? Especially when a lot of stuff's commoditized, I want to work with vendors and with tech, and I want to buy from people that I'm invested in their story. I'm invested in their growth too, because it makes you feel different. It makes you feel good instead of just buying from like nameless corporation who knows what they're funding, who knows where their money's going, you know?
Exactly. And I mean, it's also scientifically proven that we as humans remember stories 22 times better than just hardcore facts, which I know is very ironic that I'm telling it like this or sharing it like this, but it's true. If you give me a good story, I will remember you. And I have a very, very bad memory. I don't remember what I've done this morning. Well, I did go to a meditation center. But other than that, I don't remember what I've done today, honestly. So how do you expect me to remember your email? On average, we get like the average person gets like 120-something emails per day into their inbox, work-related or otherwise. So give me something to remember you by, please, and work on this personal connection. I want to see your face. I want to hear your story. I want to relate to you. This entire faceless companies thing, I think it's, you know, it had a place in the past, but especially these days, after everything that we've been through in the past couple of years worldwide, we're looking for that one-to-one connection. And with email marketing, you can do one-to-one to many. So use that.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree wholeheartedly. I think in 2024, brand is going to start growing again because people want that connection, right? They want to feel spoken to. They want to feel like they have some tie, even if it's a company. And I think we'll see that with loyalty in some ways, where like there's a couple brands I buy from where I will always buy from them. They're my favorite brand. And when I buy from them, I feel connected to them, even though I couldn't actually personally tell you anyone that works there, but I feel that connection with them.
Yeah. What do you think that is, by the way?
I don't know. Well, it's probably childhood trauma, to be honest. I think that's what everything goes back to, is like childhood trauma. I think specifically when I switched from iPhone to Android, and I buy Samsung now, and this is like so far removed from something that could be personal, because I don't know, I couldn't tell you the CEO of Samsung actually. I don't know anyone at Samsung, but all of my appliances are Samsung. I have a smart home, it's connected. And so when I buy another Samsung device, like if I'm buying a dishwasher, I'll buy the Samsung one because I know it fits into my house and it makes me feel like my little ecosystem. This is childhood trauma of being an only child and not having a lot of friends is what I feel like this is. But I feel like my little ecosystem and house is growing. And so I feel good about buying Samsung over some other brand that I don't know that maybe also is connected. But I don't know, is it going to talk to my fridge the same way my TV talks to the fridge? Probably not.
I mean, you're raising a lot of good points here about familiarity, which magically ties back to email marketing and the importance of consistency of providing value, creating your community or your ecosystem of things that you trust, that you know, like, and trust, which magically, again, ties back to email marketing. Everything, I mean, you know, these are just my types of analogies in the world, either that to that or to pasta. So I'm doomed, honestly. So I mean, it all makes sense. It all makes sense, including the childhood trauma.
Yeah, there's actually, if anyone is also has, I mean, I think everyone has some trauma in their life. There's actually a really good book, Reboot, I'd recommend for anyone. It's about how to grow as an effective leader by working through all of your childhood stuff, and that your childhood traumas just represent themselves in the workplace as you do your day-to-day stuff. So not related to email marketing at all, but book recommendation.
But relationships and, you know, which is yet again connected to email marketing. Yeah. Everything is connected. But yeah, I'll look that book up. It sounds right up my alley.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Yuval, thank you so much for joining us today. If anyone has questions, comments, you know, wants to form a relationship and talk about their thoughts on it, drop it. That was a weird segue. Drop it in the comments below. We'll put all of Yuval's links in the show notes also. Thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you.